Intervju Radija Študent.
Pogovarjali se bomo s Krisom Speedom, saksofonistom, klarinetistom, skladateljem, improvizatorjem in izrazito aktivnim protagonistom newyorškega džezerskega dogajanja že dobri dve desetletji. Njegove zasedbe Human Feel, Pachora, Yeah, No, Alas No Axis, Chris Speed Trio ter Endangered Blood so samo zanemrljiv del konstelacij, v katerih je muziciral in v katerih je neprestano širil pestrost svojega vokabularja. Sledi nekaj besed o projektu Endangered Blood, ki ga bo moč slišati nocoj v klubu Cankarjevega doma.
So Chris, can you tell me how did Endangered Blood come to be as a band?
Well, it came to be because a friend of ours had a brain tumor and became very ill, and we played a benefit concert for him that was supposed to be his own record release party, and that was a trio with Andrew D'Angelo and Trevor Dunn and Jim Black, and so Oscar and I got together with Jim and Trevor and we played a benefit for him, and to try to raise money for his cancer treatment. And to cut to the end, we basically had so much fun playing that we just kept doing concerts and playing in the neighborhood, and luckily Andrew got better. He was all cured of cancer, so we wrote a bunch of music, named the band, and started touring in the States and touring Europe, and that's basically how it came to be. We're basically a neighborhood band, and you know, we live very close to each other in Brooklyn and hang out all the time, rehearse, play gigs, drink, eat together, you know, all that.
What about Andrew? He's now recording.
He's great.
And playing.
Yeah, he's
fully
playing his ass off. He sounds great. He's all cured, so everything worked out.
So you got anything going on currently with you and Andrew?
Not at the moment, no. Yeah.
What about, can you explain, I think there's a joke behind the name Endangered Blood. Is there a potential to be this, for this thing to be funny to anyone else besides you?
Yes, but you would have to look up TV Funhouse. It's a TV show by Robert Smigel, who's a great comedian, the creator of Triumph the Insult Comic Dog, and I should just leave it at that. We get most of our, a lot of our humor and titles and inside jokes from this comedy series. So yes, it sounds like a heavy name, but it comes with a sense of humor.
Yeah, I noticed there's a lot of times there's this disclaimer that your music is not so full on as the name would imply.
Right. Well, I mean, we're a jazz band. I mean, yeah. But I mean, we take our music seriously, but we also have a good time messing around and giving each other a bunch of shit. So,
what is let's say the concept behind the music play? What, if I could put it, idiomatic premises do you use when you compose the music, when you compose the music for this band?
What's the compositional process?
Yeah. I mean, the behind this the behind this album, behind this project.
Oh, I would say it's a jazz band. I mean, two saxophones and some clarinets and bass and drums, and I mean, we're inspired by old jazz, by free jazz, by swing music, you know, Ornette Coleman to Lester Young, you know, the whole gamut of music. And also we want to make music, you know, for the time that we live in. So we're definitely influenced by jazz and are trying to make new music in the way that we hear it.
Well, considering that you have been playing with tons of musicians and bands, what do you like the most with this particular setup and project?
This project, what I like most about it is our interaction together as a band. All four of us really, we really know each other very well, but we also really push ourselves, you know, push each other to play, you know, our very best, because we know each other so well. We know nobody can get away with anything. So the band chemistry is great. And also I like that everybody's down to do whatever idea we have. I mean, everybody's fully committed, whether it's like a dirgy, like swing tune that sounds like it's from the 30s, or like a totally free piece where we want to scream and do all that. I mean, it all works.
And How much does the music that you play in concerts differ from the one on the album? How much do you follow the compositions? Because from the concert in Beam House, that follows the album quite decently close.
Yeah, we're doing the music from the record. I mean, we play solos, but and those change, you know, night after night. But also, there's a sound that we're going for, and we want to share that with the audience. You know, we worked hard to develop the book of music, and so we're more of, you know, performing our music.
Mm-hmm. You're playing with Michael Formanek today. And do you have a feeling that does this music differ in any way with that you would be playing with Trevor Dunn, who is the original member of the band?
Michael Formanek and Trevor Dunn are a couple of my favorite bass players living, and Michael brings himself, and as I mentioned earlier, Michael and Jim and I have a history with Tim Burns' Blood Count, and Michael just, he fits like a glove. It's really fun to play with him, and it's different from Trevor and just as much fun.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any further releases planned? Are you going to play any new music today on the concert?
Yes, we have a brand new record, which unfortunately we already sold out of on this tour. Mm-hmm. But you can get this record if it's on a label called Skirl Records, which I started about 6 years ago. So if you go to skirlrecords.com, you'll be able to order it. But it's a brand new record that we got done just in time for this tour. So we have a whole book of new music that we're performing.
Huh. Okay. By the way, you from what I sort of read, you've known Jim Black since you were 16. And so could you say, What do you like the most with his playing? What differs him from, let's say, all the other drum players that you played with?
That's fine. I mean, I know Jim so well, I can't really separate the music from him. So, obviously, I have a deep connection with Jim. We've known each other for a long time and have done so much music together. We hear music similarly, and we also keep each other honest, you know, not only with music, but also personally. And so I really appreciate that. I mean, to compare him to other drummers, you know, living in New York, there's so many great musicians. It's less comparing and more just everybody plays differently. You know, you stop thinking about someone being better or, you know, we feel fortunate that we have a pool of wonderful musicians to choose from, and we're all in the same boat.
Mm-hmm. What about Oscar Noriega? When did you meet him or hear him for the first time?
I've known Oscar almost as long as I've known Jim. We all met together when we were living in Boston. Oscar's from Tucson, Arizona, and we were all in Boston at the time, going to school, working at Tower Records, and being in our early 20s, jamming, playing music. And so Jim and my relationship with Oscar goes way back. And it's fun to be making music with him.
Mm-hmm. And in this particular setup, what is your role as a leader? Which functions do you perform in the process of creating the music you have?
Well, in this sense, when you make bands with your friends, it's my only job is the leader, which I'm not really the leader. It's a more of a community collective. But I sort of, at this moment, I've just been bringing in the music. But when we rehearse the music, it's all a collective endeavor. We all work on it together. So it's less of a leader, you know, telling people what to do, and more, here's my song, let's work on it together. And everybody brings, you know, ideas and parts and concepts and form suggestions. So we all work on it together. So it's more of a collective than a typical leader sideman situation.
Well, it seems that all of you that are currently playing in the band are very much connected with Tim Burn. Can you elaborate on his role in your musical formation and the wider influence that he's having on the scene in the last 2 or 3 decades.
Yeah, well, Tim's amazing. He's become the elder statesman of our scene in New York of you know, downtown post, you know, new music, and I'm very grateful to Tim for bringing me in his band Blood Count, which I mentioned is where Jim and I both met Michael. And Tim is always writing new music, always putting together new projects, and he's, you know, constantly doing stuff. He's an inspiration in his music, and with I sort of modeled Skrill Records after his own label, Screw Gun Records. You know, him and John Zorn were inspiring in the sense of, like, you know, if you want something done, you got to do it. So they were both models for me with that and their music. And Oscar's been working with Tim recently with a new band, Snake Oil. I think they just played here a few months ago. And and Tim, he's our common connector for sure. Mm-hmm. And he's a funny guy.
What about the current scene in New York? Is the jazz is now happening more or less in Brooklyn or so here? So what? You just see some musicians passing by on the street, or how do the connections, the band formations, how did they come up in bars and clubs?
It's less folkloric than running into, you know, your musicians on the street. It's more a economic sense. Basically, New York has become so expensive that people have moved to Brooklyn from Manhattan, and clubs, you know, have shut down in New York just because they can't make the rent. Because, well, for instance, a club like Tonic opened up in the Lower East Side and basically got priced out of its neighborhood because of, you know, new condos, new development, new whatever, you know, hotels going up. So everybody moving to Brooklyn has been more sort of economic based. And even that's changing. You know, the rents in Brooklyn are going up, you know, everywhere in the world. You know, obviously people are having troubles, you know. But in New York, as far as the scene being in Brooklyn, it's just where people have migrated to. And when you have, you know, neighborhoods with lots of musicians, they're going to find places to play.
So are there any new clubs that are kind of keeping the scene alive?
Every scene, you know, basically finding clubs, it's maybe kids getting together and finding a bar where they want to play. And then if people come, then it becomes, you know, something. We've been playing in a small club in Brooklyn called Barbez, you know, for about 10 years now. It's very small, but it's a nice place to work, you know, out music. It's a nice place to go get a drink. You know, it's funny. We're always trying to find new places to play. In Manhattan, of course, there's John Zorn's Club, The Stone, there's Le Poisson Rouge, there's The Vanguard still there. But,
Well, on your regular gig in, let's say, Brooklyn, how many people do show up?
Depends, you know, 100, 10.
Okay, let's go back a little to your music. The PR text says something about your Eastern sound, and you once described the Pechora, your previous band, as an East European without klezmer. Can you be more precise in which strains of East European music have you been able to connect it?
Yes, I got very into Balkan music when I was in my early 20s through a mutual friend and lover of Balkan music named Matt Dario. And I, as a jazz musician, it's important to also, you know, look to other sources of inspiration, and I got that through Bulgarian music, specifically Greek music, mostly from Epirus. There's a Halkias family of fantastic musicians that I, as a clarinetist, I just fell in love with. And some Turkish music, a little Albanian music, just the Balkan area. I fell in love with the rhythms, the melodies, and the style of clarinet playing. It reminded me of maybe Sidney Bechet or early jazz. And I formed Pechora with Jim Black and Brad Shepik and Skuli Sverson as a way to sort of, you know, learn all these musics and to work on these crazy rhythms, and basically we got into writing our own music, you know, with this as an influence. And that influence has definitely shaped my compositions today, you know.
What about rock music? You have a very distinctively rock melodic thing going on. And can you maybe tell which rock bands do you like the most, or which do you think have left the most influence in your music?
I mean, I was born in 1967, so I grew up listening to rock music like everybody else did, you know, Aerosmith, Led Zeppelin. As far as what bands, I mean, it's more of a pop music culture. I think anything that's happened, I want to be open to and listen to.
So is there any rock music that you currently, any new rock music that you currently like?
Brand new? Well, they're not so new, but Meshuggah is always fun, rhythmically, trying to figure out what they do. Also not new, Blonde Redhead is they've been around for a while, but very inspiring what they do with harmony and melody. And
well, your songs have a very, I said, pop, or at least of some of your projects, have a very pop rock oriented structure of the songs with the very memorable melodic theme and all that. Have you ever sort of feel the need to go on this way rather than use the more traditional way of contemporary jazz song structure?
I'm making music that I hear, and I play saxophone, and I consider myself a jazz musician, but I try to make new music. I try to work with melody. You know, I don't know really how to answer that other than I'm just making music.
Mm-hmm. What about, so you said set up your label, Skull Records, as a vehicle for recording and producing your own music, but how do you choose which bands are you gonna put on the label?
I started Skrull to sort of put a frame around a scene in Brooklyn. It was less about putting out my own music and more about putting out music of my friends and the scene that I was working with. I put out a few things, Endangered Blood, but mostly it's just friends of mine that I felt needed to be heard, and so that was the impetus to start the label. You know, but it's difficult. You know, I'm a musician first, and so Skrull Records, it's more of a labor of love. But I stand behind all the music. I think the quality is amazing, and I'm gonna keep doing it as long as I can.
Mm-hmm. And what about the project? The album was called Skadra Degis with Andrew D'Angelo. Is there anything going on with this currently?
I don't know what Andrew's doing with his trio at the moment. I know he had another record in the can, but I don't know if it's come out or not. Yeah, but I'm curious as well. Mm-hmm. I would love to hear it.
So to sort of finish off, is there any promising project or band that you're really glad to see that's come out to the scene?
Of my own?
Maybe at your label or more wide in the jazz scene in New York currently.
In New York. Oh man, there's so many great things happening. I don't know where to start.
Try.
Yeah. Well, Ben Holmes just did a really wonderful record that we put out, and I think he's doing some great stuff. There's a band, actually I'm involved with it. It's called Band de los Muertos. It's all doing banda music from Mexico. Oscar leads it. It's one of the most fun things, you know, I do.
Is there any record coming up with this project?
It'll be recorded soon, but we're still, doing gigs, working on music. And it's all brass band music from mostly Zacatecas area of Mexico, and it's really fun.
Okay, well, thank you very much for taking your time.
Thank you. Looking forward to tonight.
A nice gig.
All right, okay, thanks.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Pogovarjali Pogovarjali smo se z markantnim pihalcem Chrisom Speedom, ki bo skupaj z Jimom Blackom, Oscarjem Noriego ter Michaelom Formanekom nocoj pihal na odru kluba Cankarjevega doma. Z njimi se je pogovarjal Anže Zurman.
Intervju Radija Študent.